The acoustics you are hearing are the kitchen of Illico, I-L-I-C-C-O on Twitter. One L, he's not ill. If you like that, that's right. One way of remembering it. Illico very kindly let me stay at his house last night, and today I'm at the journalist conference, and I thought, before I go, I would be a fool not to grab you for a moment, because I can't remember ever actually interviewing you, at least this year, on Audioboo.
Definitely not this year, but I think ever.
Has your job title changed?
Global Head of Mobile for Reuters? No, I don't think so.
Is that on your business card?
No.
Is it not on your Moo cards?
No.
Global Head of Mobile for Reuters. What does that mean?
It means I look after all of the applications and mobile websites that Reuters puts out to a consumer base.
You should probably have a word with Posterous and get them to sort their mobile website out. It can be a little bit boring sometimes.
Yeah, they've only got one template, basically, so everyone's Posterous looks exactly the same on a mobile phone. But at least they have a mobile template. You don't get that a lot.
Give me an example of a company that should be thinking about having a mobile template for people who are on the move to enjoy their content.
Every single company.
Quite simply.
Every single company. I get links through Twitter, and if I don't see a mobile site for the thing, I just forget about going to that company after that, basically.
Is this the fault of our devices or the companies not keeping up to date? Because surely our devices, like, for example, the iPhone 4, which I'm talking on at the moment, should give you the ability to view this smoothly, quickly, fast.
It does, but a normal sort of desktop-based website is still going to be quite a heavy sort of page to download. So the 3G networks are still not necessarily as quick as we want them to be. They're never going to be as quick as we want them to be. The Wi-Fi in my house is never as quick as I want it to be. So a single use mobile website for any company has got to be a good thing these days, definitely.
Mm. Especially with companies having more sites to their brand nowadays. The first time I think I read the term mobile journalist was on your blog. And, of course, you know how I feel about the term mobile journalist. At the time, I was like, wow, people are talking about blogger types, but with proper journalistic jobs. This is great. Now I'm thinking, actually, all journalists should be mobile. Get out from out the desk. Stop waiting for the emails. Stop just scraping the news from Twitter, although that's not a bad place to get news nowadays. And, of course, the fact when I was working in a newspaper, a mobile journalist got up, walked to the fax machine and walked back. How have things changed since you effectively, unofficially, I think, were blogging about this stuff before it being adopted officially in your workplace?
It's changed because the quality of photos and the quality of video and audio, like Audioboo is a perfect example, has increased phenomenally over the last, 3 years or so that we've been doing it properly. The thing that hasn't changed is how difficult it is for us to get that content directly into our systems. Yes, it's actually pretty simple for someone like you to take an Audioboo and it get automatically linked to your Posterous blog and linked to your Twitter account. But for us, where we not only have a website that we deliver to consumers to read news, we also deliver that content to people like the BBC and the Guardian and the Telegraph for them to make websites out of and programmes out of. We need that high quality video to send to them as well as the lower quality to view on our website. And actually, these days, there isn't such a thing as a lower quality for a website. The iPlayer is fantastic quality. So getting that into our systems is still actually pretty difficult.
Something I feel that hasn't changed that much and in some cases got worse is the batteries in our devices. Our devices are getting so power hungry now, and the battery technology just doesn't seem to catch up. What's going on here?
I think all of the device manufacturers need to club together. They need to do what Duracell have done, basically, have a single, consistent sort of battery format, as it were, that then they can all use, and then you leave a company to actually excel at doing that. The same way that Duracell has done in sort of normal photography equipment.
That's a great idea as well, because think about the battery charging technology that can come out of the fact where companies are investing in developing one kind of charger with solar or whatever capability. That would work for me. How do you keep your devices charged up on the go now?
Powertraveler.com, I think is their actual thing. Yeah, so all the Gorilla family, the Power Gorillas, the Mini Gorillas, what else? What's the other one? Pocket Gorilla. No, Pocket Monkey. Yeah. They. It's just a fantastic way to keep your devices all charged all the time, and they have, you know, all the tips for all the different devices. They've just come out with a really good one to be able to charge your iPad because the iPad uses a different voltage.
I like that because that was a hacker search. You didn't have to go out and buy. I mean, I'm quite a fan of the Power Traveller kit as well. I think because it just seems to be a little bit more robust and it's giving you some decent information through its display. Although I did blow up a TomTom once. That was my own fault. Wrong connectors, wrong voltage, kaboom. You only do it once.
You do only do it once, yeah, absolutely.
But now I've been able to use their peripherals, the bits and bobs and the links and cables that give you to use third-party solar panels as well, should I need them, even though I do have the Solar Gorilla. I think it's great that a company can see, oh, hang on, Apple are being funny. They've messed with the voltage on their device. Do we bring out a whole new battery and try and push it out to the customer? No, let's bring out a little cable, bang it into your battery, and suddenly it works. That's, more companies should be doing that rather than just trying to fleece us, I think.
Yeah, and you just have to look at all the different types of mobile chargers that have been out over the past 5 years. I mean, I've had so many different mobile phones. I've got a suitcase actually full of charging chargers for them, for the old Sony Ericsson, the old Motorolas. It's great that we're now going to the micro USB port, basically. Who knows when Apple's going to do that? But it's good that we're now slowly getting much more consistent in sort of the charging technology and batteries, but we're just not there yet. And we need much, much higher capacity batteries. We need a step change in capacity, basically.
So I think it's a myth, you do say you have a lot of mobile phones, but apparently someone was telling me yesterday in meetings at Reuters, you will often splay 4 mobile phones across the table in front of you, and you've just taken 3 straight out of your pocket without any effort of looking for them. What devices have you got in your pocket and why?
Nokia N8, BlackBerry 9780, a iPhone 4, and a Google Nexus 1.
What are you using more?
All of them.
Really? You use them all equally?
Yeah.
Who has all these numbers?
No, it's just one number, that, and I just move the SIM between them. So I have a lot of pay-as-you-go Vodafone SIMs, and I have one real contract with them as well. And most, to be honest, voice isn't that important to me anymore. It's all about data. So, you know, the Vodafone contracts are great, and I use it for my normal telephone number, which I've had for like maybe 15 years.
It's weird. I'm the same. I wonder why we're both stuck to and remaining loyal to that one company, because I kind of publicly dissed O2 and threw them away and just ended up keeping the one SIM, which was Vodafone. I don't know why. Maybe it's the coverage.
It's service. It's service for me. And it's also coverage as well. And I've spoken to Vodafone about this, but the coverage is not necessarily the fastest, but definitely most consistent.
Right.
So you will most likely get a signal, you know, 99.9 or whatever their stat says. Mm-hmm. It may not be a, you know, 3G plus HSBCDA connection, but it's definitely going to be there. You're definitely going to get a consistent connection.
I still like driving to my grand's and getting a 20-minute space on O2 where I couldn't talk to anybody. I don't have that anymore.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But it's all about data for me now, and the biggest thing is being able to get a consistent data throughput on my phone, especially when you're abroad as well. I don't use the telephone abroad. I use data, and then you can use Skype over it. So Wi-Fi connections when you're abroad, because it's ridiculously expensive.
Can you tell me of a mobile phone company providing a SIM that when you top up the data doesn't expire after a month or 3 months? Because for me, I've got devices now that would be great if they could just trick a little bit of data. Say, for example, an old phone that I want to use as a GPS logger, just pinging a location, even a car tracker. Leave a mobile phone wired in behind the dashboard, and you can use something like Google Latitude to ping constantly where that vehicle is at any point. But if I've got to top up a tenner every month just to ensure I've got that data, because if you're using the data, it won't last. It won't last you 3 months. I think there's a gap in the market, is what I'm saying.
There is, potentially, but it's like paying your £10 a night for your BT landline. You need that connection.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, without going into any more research, I think the sort of minimum you can get away with is about a £10 a month to have a connection. Once you've got that connection, most of the time, or if you chop up a tenner with someone like T-Mobile, they give you free internet access for that month.
Maybe this is something GIFGAF could look into, data-only SIMs, because they tend to listen to what the people want, even though they're owned by O2 now, I think.
Yeah, they always were owned by O2.
Oh, were they? Yeah. I thought they used O2's network, but didn't necessarily listen to them. I might be wrong. I'm talking to the mobile dude from Reuters. I should shut up.
Yeah, they've started out as an O2 subsidiary, as it were.
Give me a prediction to what will be happening in our devices, be it social media prediction or a journalism prediction, a platform prediction over the next couple of years.
Well, I'm going to speak at the Streaming Media Europe conference today, and it's all about mobile and streaming media. Well, my section is. And I believe that you will have a mobile phone, mobile-type device, little tiny device, on which you have all of your media, so that when you go to your mate's house and you want to watch a video or an old YouTube clip or something you might have accidentally downloaded, you have it on your device that you then just connect up to the TV. So when you're on the tube, you can watch it. When you come off the tube, you can watch it on a bigger screen if you've got one in front of you. So all of your media will be in that device. Now, whether it's in that device or on the cloud accessed by that device is a moot point, basically. But just having access to every single thing that you've ever created or want to watch.
I'm going to look into encryption now you've just said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaving my phone on the train suddenly got very, very dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. But it's going to be your personal media
You're partner. Carrying around every bit of data that you've made or processed. So this is all about storage and great leaps forward in storage.
Yeah, great leaps forward in storage or cloud-based storage.
Sure.
But, you know.
Or access to the cloud, because everybody talks about the cloud, and even I have, normally have a couple of slides talking about the cloud in my presentations, but I can't access it where I live, just due to the very limited bandwidth I have on my home internet connection. Thanks, BT.
So, yeah. Having access to stuff that you want to look at. Spotify is a perfect example. Mm. I haven't bought an album for a long time. I don't potentially need to. Mm. I've got the free Spotify, and pretty much 90% of the stuff I want to listen to is either on there or on CDs that I've already bought.
That's great. It's funny we talk about streaming for mobile phones as well. You're getting involved in a lot of video streaming as such. And it's 2 years ago yesterday that we used Quick with Gordon Brown. You somehow... I didn't think you actually got me permission to sit at the front, but I did anyway. I think I was meant to stand at the back. Something to do with a Che Guevara-esque avatar that people might have been scared of. And you got me access, along with Mike Sizemore, to effectively... What was the meeting about? I didn't listen much. No, I'm just joking.
No, I didn't listen either.
Gordon Brown, big financial announcement. And it was kind of a bit of a breakthrough of its time, because people were like, what are bloggers doing in here amongst all these serious people?
It was a massive step for us to bring two basically non-traditional journalists in. And what we were trying to do was to extend that speech or extend that community outside of the room that he was actually speaking to. So we invited lots of journalists from other publications into the room to ask the Gordon Brown questions. But we wanted to be able to ask questions from outside the room as well. And that's the big difference between 2 years ago and now.
And there was crowdsourcing going on for questions as well.
There was.
Well, it was only a matter of time before one of your four devices did in fact ring. And Mark from Reuters sorted that out.
Yeah, Mark Jones from Reuters sorted that out with Sophie, who's now at the BBC.
Yes.
But it's a massively different way of... I remember in the next one we did, which was Cameron.
Mm-hmm. We tried to go a step further, and then... After that, we tried to do one step further again with Nick Clegg. And I guess that was down to the Lib Dems being a little bit more engaged in social media. Now, I thought they saw what the possibilities were. And we were able to pick Nick Clegg up in a taxi, which is you got me in a taxi. Kate Day was there with my HD camera filming, taking a couple of photographs as well, whilst in the back of the cab, streamed audio, streamed video, Twittered, crowdsourced a few questions before we even got to Reuters, and then the kind of social media carnival began. How did that feel at the time?
It was brilliant. It was fantastic. Being able to take a leader of an opposition party, or is it, they're not the opposition party, well, they weren't then, they're now in Parliament.
Yeah. He's now the Deputy Prime Minister.
All because of us, I like to believe, actually.
Now, there are a lot of connections and a lot of people saying, hang on a second.
We do definitely need to do a Storify timeline of us interviewing him and how that connects together to him becoming Deputy Prime Minister. Absolutely.
That was the day that he got hold of his Twitter account because he realised he had to if he was speaking to social media types.
Absolutely, yeah. So we did, you know, we basically had cheap equipment, did on a very low budget, but interviewed, you know, who is someone who is now the Deputy Prime Minister, and people sitting in their front room where we could ask him questions. That's been happening for many, many years when politicians do doorsteps and church fates and stuff and ask people questions, but not in such a in such an amplified manner. Exactly.
Fantastic. Any top secret you can't talk about on an audiobook projects coming up for Reuters in the not too distant future?
Yes, there are.
Lovely. Thanks, Ilico. Speak to you later.
See you, mate.